good evening, everybody. So yesterday we discussed some of the parameters of Kohen Gadol, and now we're going to move to another leadership figure in society. So if you just think about it in logical sequence, the end of the first parak, we talked about the Sanhedrin HaGedolah, that's the highest judicial body, and they represent the ultimate leadership in society, Torah leadership. Then we spoke about the Kohen Gadol, also represents a form of spiritual leadership. So you have the Keser Torah, you have the Keser Kuna. So now we move to a Mishnah about the Keser Malchus. So it's important to just give a one or two introductory points before entering the text of the Mishnah, is that the first halacha about the Melech is all rooted in the Pasuk, Som Tasim Alecha Melech. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says, Shetehei Emaso Alecha, that a Melech should have a sense of awe and reverence about him, and therefore the Gemara in Kiddushin explains, Melech Shemachal Al Kivodo, if a king wants to forego his own honor, in kivodo machul, his kavod can't really be forgiven. Insofar as the melech is really associated in many ways with the ultimate melech, the melech malchei hamlachim, in terms of kivod shamayim, the melech is associated with the sefer Torah that he carries around, l'man yarich yamim amamlachto huvanav bekerav Yisrael. So we're going to see in the Mishnah that we're even stricter about the melech than we were about the Kohen Gadol. Let's say the case of chalitza. Well, we pointed out the Kohen Gadol could be subject to chalitza yesterday, even though we would think that that involves a kind of infringement on his honor, that a woman should spit in his direction. In this case, a melech is not allowed to undergo a process of chalitza, even though chalitza is normally a mitzvah, because of the principle, overriding principle of melech shemach al kavodo, kavodo machal. That's introductory point number one. So introductory point number two is that we have to distinguish between the true kings, the true malachim, which are the Malchei based David, based in Yerushalayim. Again, of course, all descendants of the house of David, a fulfillment of Yaakov's prophecy. Lo yasur shevet mi Yehuda, mechokek mi bein raglav, that the scepter shall not stray from Yehuda, that you're not supposed to really have a king from any other tribe. And Malchei Yisrael. Malchei Yisrael were kind of a breakaway after the death of David's son Shlomo. So David's grandson was named Rechavam, and from the very beginning he was hostile and he was antagonistic with the Jewish people, and 10 tribes split off. So there was, a bifurcation of the Jewish people into Malchus Yisrael and Malchus Yehuda. Malchus Yisrael, the first king, was an evil man named Yeravam ben Nevat, and if I could say so, it probably got worse from there. There wasn't a single righteous one amongst them, people like Achab and Yehu. So the beginning of the Mishnah says, Melech lo dan velo dan in oso. And this only relates to the Malchei Yisrael, that he can't participate in the Sanhedrin because these were not observant people. Velo dan in oso, he's not subject to any kind of a criminal proceeding altogether, because the concern is that he has no respect for Torah authority, to just make a mockery of the whole process. But when it comes to Malchus based David, not only is a Melech allowed to sit on the high court, but David HaMelech was a member of the Sanhedrin, just like we talked about yesterday that Kohen Gadol done. He could be a member of the Sanhedrin. It's actually a mitzvah for Kohanim to be on the Sanhedrin. And we pointed out yesterday, Kohen is subject, the Kohen Gadol is subject to criminal prosecution. If, again, it's a Mises Beis in charge, that has to be dealt with by the Sanhedrin HaGedolah. So when it comes to Malchus Beis David, they too were subject to criminal proceedings. They had great respect for Torah. The Rambam writes at length about their anivus, the sense of humility that they had, and so therefore they would be subject to criminal proceedings, which is probably why the Rambam paskened yesterday when we talked about the fact that the Kohen Gadol was allowed to give testimony. And we said, but isn't this Enol Nefi Chvodo? How are you going to call the Kohen Gadol to give a testimony? So the Rambam paskened that was only in the case where the Melech was the subject of the testimony. It wasn't considered beneath the office of the Kohen Gadol. So we said, how is that going to comport with the next Mishnah? Melech lo danino. So how could the Melech possibly be the subject of the case if you can't bring a Melech into Beis Din? And the answer is, that's only true of Malchus Yisrael. But Malchus Beis David, and this is consistent with the Psak of the Rambam, the Malchus Beis David, they are subject to Halacha because they're humble and they want, of course, Halacha to be effectuated. But again, getting back to our introductory point of Melech Shemachal al Kavodo in Kavodo Machul, so now there's a series of halachos in the Mishnah that relate to Kavod HaMelech. So for example, the Mishnah says that the Melech's wife, if the Melech should pass away, she's not subject to Yibum or to Chalitza altogether, and nobody's permitted to marry her. Al Menasso Shalmelech, the Rambam paskins this in Hilchos Melachim, the second parak, she's not allowed to ever marry again, which is kind of a very sad fate. If the king would die, then she would be a young woman, but again, it wouldn't be Kavod Shalmelech that anybody else would marry a woman that he had been married to. Likewise, in the case of Yibam and Chalitza, we said that he's not allowed to do the mitzvah of Chalitza, because it would mean that a woman would have to spit in his direction. And as we pointed out yesterday, that it's always a package deal. Exception, the case was the Kohen Gadol. He's not allowed to do Yibam just for a technical reason, because he can't marry an Almana. But since the Melech isn't subject to the Halacha of Chalitza, he also cannot perform Yibam. Rabbi Yehuda says that it would be Amidas Chasidus, as it were. It would be considered to his credit if he would go ahead and be subject to the Chalitza. But again, we rule against Rabbi Yehuda in that regard, because Melech Shemachal Al Kevodo, Ein Kevodo Machal, he doesn't have the right to forego his own honor. And that's very different than a Rebbe or than a father, or even, as we pointed out yesterday, the Kohen Gadol. The Melech is in very much a category of his own right. In this respect, then we have another machlokas between Rebbe and the Chachamim regarding this point about Almanaso Shal Melech. The position of Rabbi Yehuda was that another Melech can actually marry the Almana of a Melech, so it wouldn't be considered within the king's honor for just a commoner off the street to marry somebody that the king had been married to, Almanaso Shal Melech. But Rabbi Yehuda says if another Melech would come along, that would be acceptable. It's interesting. The Rambam in the Perush on Mishnayos accepts that view of Rabbi Yehuda, but then by the time he got up to the Mishnah Torah, which he wrote later on in his life, he no longer accepted that view, and he just said, Almanaso Shel Melech is not allowed to marry anybody altogether, which again would make a very sad fate for, especially if he passed away a relatively young man, she wouldn't be permitted to marry anybody ever again. But I guess that's all comes along with being attached to the Melech. And just to conclude with one other halacha in that respect is that normally we don't destroy items wantonly. That's considered the prohibition of Baal Tashchis. But all the kalim of the Melech, anything that the Melech used to serve him when the Melech would die, all of that would be burned. Would literally be burned. Nobody would be allowed to use his baseball glove. Nobody would be allowed to use the things that were his special kalim. So, you know, the Gemara asks about that. Isn't that a problem of Baal Tashchis? Isn't that destructive? Isn't that also Midarchei HaEmori? Isn't that something that non-Jewish kings practice? They would do even worse things. Basically, the answer is no, because this all reinforces the status of Kevodo Shel Melech, and that's a very important thing. Now, again, another Melech is allowed to use certain things that had been used to serve the king, which is why Shlomo theoretically could have married Avishag HaShunamit. If you remember that story, the beginning of Melachim, she's the one, the lady that was keeping David warm. So Shlomo could marry her because he had the status of a king. But the very fact that Adoniyahu asked to marry Avishag HaShunamit because he wasn't the king, that was, in effect, his way of stating that he really was a king, because the only one who could marry, again, David was never married to Avishag, but she had been one of his servants, she was used to keep him warm. It's a whole interesting story. So the Rambam points out that Adoniyahu could have never married her, and in effect, his desire to do so was tantamount to a coup. So again, just to review, the two essential points for today is Melech Shem Machal Al Kavodo in Kavodo Machal. Melech has no right to forego his own honor, as the Pasuk says in Shmuel, Haloim Katona Tabinecha Rosh Shivte Yisrael Ata Shaul HaMelech, if you think you're small in your own eyes, you don't have the right to release your own kavod, number one. And number two, that we have to make a distinction between Melech Dan, Melech Ein Melech Dan, Ved Lo Dan in Oso, between Malchus Yisrael and Malchus Yehuda. Malchus Beis David can participate in the Sanhedrin, did participate in the Sanhedrin, and as the Rambam notes, they did have the humility to be subject to court cases if they had done something that was inappropriate.